This morning, welcome to Rabbi Sachs' Sunday morning share. This morning, the share is being sponsored by Linda and Milton Frank in memory of Lottie Frank, Aleha HaShalom. This morning's topic is Tfilas Arvis. Rabbi Sachs will be here next week. The topic will be Tfilas Musaf, the Chavit Gadol of Sachs.
The Gemara Brachos and Nefcho Zayin Mudbeis points out the fundamental difference between Tfilas Shacharis and Mincha as opposed to Tfilas Arvis. When it comes to Shacharis and Mincha, certainly those Tfilas are considered to be Echova. And yet, regarding Tfilas Arvis, the Machlokas Rabbi Gamila Rabbi Yeshua, whether Tfilas Arvis is Echova or whether it is simply a Rishus. The Gemara never explains why in fact one should argue that Mariv is any different from Shacharis and Mincha, but Rashi writes elsewhere in Shabbos and Daf Tes Amadeis that this is based on a machlokes on the earlier Daf in Brachos Chavav Amadeis. What exactly is the source of Shacharis, Mincha, and Mariv? One possibility, Rabbi Yosef Baba Chanina, is Tfilos Avos Tiknam. Avram Avinu Tfilos Shacharis, Yitzchak Tfilos Mincha, Yaakov Avinu Tfilos Arvis. And then the Gemara tells us, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that Tfilah is Kneged Tmidim Tiknam. Tamid Shal Shachar, Tamid Shal Ben Arbayim, and even though there was no specific carbon offered at night, Eivarim Upidarim, faster limbs that were not offered as of yet during the day, they are continued to be offered at night, and therefore that is the basis of Tfilas Arvis. As mentioned, that is a discussion of Malchokes Amoraim. Tfilas Arvis, Rosh Hashanah Chovan Dav Chav Zayin, is the Malchokes Tanaim, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua. The Gemara never really links these two issues, but yet, that is the Chiddush of that Rashi and Shabbos Dav Testament days. Why should one assume that Mariv is any different from Shacharis and Mincha? Rashi writes it is based on Tfilos Kneged Tmidim Tiknu. It is based on Karbanos. If it's rooted in Avos, why should anyone assume that the Tfilah of Yaakov, you know, is different from that of Avram and Yitzchak? But if you assume that Tfilah is based on Karbanos, as mentioned, there is a marked difference between Shacharis Mincha as opposed to Mariv. There is a carbon kavua that is bought in the morning and in the afternoon. At night, there is no clear avoda balayla, simply as mentioned, a varmu pedarim. So therefore, one can certainly understand why Tfilas Arvis would be different from that of Shacharis and Mincha. So that is the Chiddush of Rashi and Shabbos and Daf Tes, that there is a clear link between the source of Tfilah and the fact that Tfilas Arvis is only a Rishus. And it still points out in Shultos and Shultaches that this is not the case according to the Shultos and according to the Halachos Gedolos. Because they maintain, as we assume the halacha, that Tfilas Arvis is only a Rishus. But yet, what is the source of Shacharis, Mincha, and Mariv? The Shultos quotes the view of Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina that Tfilos Avos Tiknum. And somehow you have to argue that even within Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, there is a difference between Shacharis and Mincha on the one hand as opposed to Mariv on the other. But why should that be so? So then it seems to suggest the following possible distinction. The Torah tells us that Vayitka b'makom v'yolensham. That is the source of the tefillah of Yaakov, you know. And yet, the pasuk seems to go out of its way and attribute the fact that Yaakov, you know, davened to condition, to circumstance, the fact that he found himself in a particular place, Vayitka b'makom. And it gives sites the Gemara in Chulin Daf Tzadi Aleph that tells us that kimato l'charan, when Yaakov reached Charan, so therefore he realized Efshar she'avarti al makom she'ispala vosai v'ni lo ispala alti. How is it possible that I passed the area where my forefathers davened and I did not engage in tefillah? So therefore the Gemara seems to point out that if you'll ask why is it that Yaakov davened at that particular time, the answer is because of a certain condition, because of circumstance. He found himself in that particular place. And therefore, perhaps one could argue, cannot derive from the tefillah of Yaakov, you know, a day-in and day-out obligation to daven. Perhaps one could add the following. We've discussed in the past, the machlokas, the Rambam and the Ramban, whether there is a mitzvah daraisa of davening each and every day. The Rambam writes in Sefer Mitzvos Mitzvah, hey, and that is in fact how the Rambam begins of Chustila, mitzvah seseili hispala b'chol yom. A person is obligated to daven at least once a day, each and every day. And the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban assumes that the daily obligation of davening is only midrabanan. The Ramban, however, acknowledges perhaps there is a difference and that is Be'es Sarah. The Torah tells us in Parshas Baaloscha, Al Hatzar Hatzor Eschem, and perhaps in a time of dire need, in such an instance there is a mitzvah in HaTorah to daven. Even though the Ramban mentions this as a possibility, it would appear that the Ramban assumes and concludes that tefillah always is only a chiyuv drabanan. Because when you look in the minyan hamitzvos of the Ramban, you know, very often will add to the mitzvos of Ramban, and therefore it's necessary for him to delete certain other mitzvos. So when the Ramban tells you which mitzvos he is adding, and which mitzvos that he says you should not count, among that second list is the mitzvah of tefillah, seeming to indicate that according to the Ramban, the chiyuv daraisa of tefillah does not exist even Be'es Sarah. But this certainly is a possibility that the Ramban writes, a possibility found in Sefer HaChinuch as well. If one should assume that Be'es Sarah, there is a mitzvah in HaTorah of tefillah, then one could argue as well that Yaakov Avinu, no doubt, in the beginning of the past Shabbos, is Kriyas HaTorah, found himself running away from Esav HaRasha, no doubt, in a dire Es Sarah, and therefore the fact that Yaakov Avinu engaged in tefillah is not necessarily an indicator that one is obligated to do so day in and day out. And therefore, perhaps one could argue, as the Shultos does, that even if you assume avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, nonetheless one could still argue that tefillah's arvis is a rishus. So therefore, again, we assume the halacha like that view of Rabbi Yeshua, that there is a marked difference between Shachar and Mincha as opposed to Arvis according to Rashi, based on Karbanos according to Shiltos, even rooted in the fact that the Avos were the ones who established the Chiyu of Tefillah. What exactly do we mean when we argue that Tefillah's Arvis is only a rishus? Because Tosfos points out in Berachos and Abchavav and Aleph that it does not seem that tefillah arvis rishus simply means that it is absolutely optional, it is a voluntary mitzvah, and therefore one can daven or one can decide not to daven. After all, the Gemara does discuss the concept of tashlumin. If a person did not daven mara, if he daven shachris twice, or the Gemara later in Berachos and Abchavav and Amadeis, if a person davens mariv, and let's assume for example it's Rosh Chodesh and he fails to recite Yalav Yavo. The Gemara tells us that at Marav he doesn't have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. Why is that true? The Gemara does not say the reason is because Tefillah Sarvis is Rishus. The Gemara's reason is because Kiddush HaKodesh is only Bayom and not Balayla, and therefore if you fail to mention Yalav Yavo at Marav, you don't have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei. In fact, Tosu says two days. In Brachos Lamed on the Beis, what if it is a two-day Rosh Chodesh? What about the second night of Rosh Chodesh? You're going to argue that it wasn't critical to recite Yalav Yavo because Kiddush HaKodesh is only Bayom. We assume the halacha that if it's a two-day Rosh Chodesh, if it is a Malay, then you do not have Kiddush HaKodesh Al Yedei Bezdin. And therefore, 2 days in Tosos, whether you have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei on the second night of Rosh Chodesh. We assume halacha, you do not. Or, for example, when it comes to Chol HaMoed, a person during Maariv fails to recite Yalav Yavo, you have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. So if Tefillah Sarvis is a Rishus, so therefore, how is it that at times require repetition? So Tosos comments in Brachos Chavav and Aleph that Rishus does not necessarily mean optional. It doesn't mean that it is purely voluntary, take it or leave it, but rather as follows. Sometimes, when the Gemara will contrast two different obligations, it will mention a mitzvah hachamura as being a chova, and a mitzvah kala as being a rishus. In a relative sense, one is chamur, one is kal, but rishus does not mean that it is something that is absolutely voluntary. So in yesterday's Daf Yomi, and even the very top of this morning's Daf Yomi, the mission described in Beit Sandaf Lamed Vav and Beis, that there are three different gradations. There are certain halachos that are called a shvus, a rishus, and a mitzvah. And what are examples that the Mishnah gives us of a rishus? Danin, din, or the case of mekanshin, getting married, or yibum and chalitza. Those are the four examples that the Mishnah tells us of a rishus. That's a rishus. Yibum is a rishus. Chalitza is a rishus. How in fact can that be? So Rashi immediately comments as follows, that you have different stages, different gradations in the Mishnah. And a Mishnah can call a mitzvah a dvar rishus in comparison to other obligations. And that's exactly what the Mishnah was doing in the Seches Beitza. That there are three different categories. There's Shvus, there's Rishus, there is Mitzvah. And relatively speaking, sometimes a Mitzvah which is not as Chamor in a certain circumstance can be called a Dvar Rishus. This is similar to the fact of what the Tosus writes regarding Tfilas Arvis Rishus as well. It's not an exact mashal, but you know in Maaseh Rav, the Gaon is quoted as assuming the following. This is really Ibn Ezra, twice in Sefer Shmos as well. And that is, the Gemara says that, Ba'erav Toch L'matzos, the night of the Seder, the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah Be'ezachova. What about Shar Yamim? That is only a Rishus. What exactly do we mean by Rishus? That there is no fulfillment of the mitzvah whatsoever in Achilas Matzah? Doesn't the Pasuk say that there is a mitzvah of matzah for Shivas Yamim, Shivas Yam Matzos Tochelu? So therefore, again, the Gaon comments that no, that the real chiyuv, the categorical obligation, is an absolute chov, that is Berav Tochel Matzos. But there is a kiyum mitzvah min HaTorah of Achilas Matzah in Shar Yimei HaPesach, even though the Gemara refers to it as being a Rishus. It's Rishus in comparison to the mitzvah Achilas Matzah at the Seder night. So sometimes the term Rishus can be used in that sense, that relatively speaking, it is considered to be that which is count. So Tosos comments as follows. What exactly does that mean? Let's assume a person did not yet daven Maariv, and a person is in a situation where there is another mitzvah that he can perform. And Tosos writes in Brachos Chavav, mitzvah acheres vihi overes. We're talking about a mitzvah that you could only do now, you could not do later. So Tosos writes, since Tfilas Arvis is Rishus, we would opt to perform that second mitzvah as opposed to davening Maariv. When you look in Tosos Shabbos of Testament Days, Tosos writes, a similar nafkamina, but Tosos adds the following chiddush, there is a mitzvah acheres, which is Eino Overes. Not only a mitzvah that one must fulfill at this moment, even if it's a mitzvah that one could perform at another time, since Tfilas Arvis is in fact a Rishus, so in such a case, therefore, in terms of hierarchy, one will opt for another mitzvah over Tfilas Arvis. So Tosos comments, Rishus does not mean that which is absolutely voluntary, but rather it means, relatively speaking, a mitzvah kala. The second approach that you find in the Rishonim is the following, that no, perhaps one could argue Rishus means, in a certain sense, Rishus. However, the Rif, the Baal Halachos Gedolos, the Rambam, Kvar Shavyu Aleha Kichova. It's true, that was the case then, but we already have accepted upon ourselves to treat Tfilas Arvis as though it is considered to be an obligation. Shavyu Aleha Kichova. What exactly do we mean by that? Shavyu Aleha Kichova. So here you find three different formulations in the Rishonim. If you look in the Rambam, in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Tefillah, the Rambam writes the following, Kfar Nahagu Kol Yisrael. It means, Knesset Yisrael. We have taken upon ourselves to treat Tfilas Arvis as though it is a Tfilas Chova. The Rambam does not speak about Shavyu Aleha Kichova individually, that I myself have done so, but rather, all of Knesset Yisrael has already, for generations, taken upon themselves to treat Arvis as that which is a chova. Pashur Shat, it would appear according to the Rambam's view, Shavila Kechova is a reference to Kabbalas Hatzibur. But Tosus in Chagim Gandavtes assumes that is not the case. Shavila Kechova is understood individually. And here Tosus puts forth two possibilities. When is it that I accepted upon myself to daven Maariv? So Tosus says one possibility is Vishar Lelos, not tonight, but generally. Generally speaking, you daven Maariv, therefore Shavu Aleha Kichova even tonight as well. And the second possibility of Tosus is the following. A person decided to daven, and it is, for example, Chol HaMoed, and if you were to ask him, are you going to recite Yalav Yavo tonight? The answer is absolutely yes. And lo and behold, he forgot. Shavu Aleha Kichova means Ba'osa HaLaila, on that specific night. His intent was to daven, his intent was to recite Yalav Yavo, and therefore in Chol HaMoed he should repeat, and on Rosh Chodesh the only reason he does not do so is because of the reason of Kiddush HaChodesh. Shavyu Aleha Kichova meaning individually, and furthermore, at this moment, not just, this is a pattern that is extended about other nights as well. So therefore, three different possibilities in Shavyu Aleha Kichova. Now, where else do you find this concept of Shavyu Aleha Kichova? Where could we apply this particular principle? So if you look in the Magen Avraham, in Hilchos Sfiras Torah Tafei Tes, Magen Avraham writes that perhaps this can be applied to the obligation of women regarding Sfiras Omer. We assume the halacha that women, technically speaking, are exempt from Sphira Somer, isn't that a classic example of a mitzvah to say Shahazman Grama? But yet Magen Avraham writes to Peites that nonetheless women do in fact count the Omer. Why? The Magen Avraham writes Shavua Aleha Kechova, because they have accepted upon themselves already as a chiyuv. And if you look in the first Tshuvas Rabbi Kivega in Simon Aleph in the Hashmatos, Rabbi Kivega writes that this is true of Rov Mitzvah Sasei Shahazman Grama. This is true of many different mitzvot that technically speaking women are exempt. And Rabbi Kivega mentions Shofar, Lulav, Sukkah. Rabbi Kivega adds a fourth case of this, a very interesting Kiddush. Anyantiv. Even though it's an explicit Gemara, Brachos Tavchav, Shavuos Tavchav, that women are obligated in Kiddush, Rabbi Kivega assumes Kiddush on Shabbos. But technically speaking, women are exempt from Kiddush Anyantiv, and the fact that women always hear Kiddush Anyantiv is Shaviole Kechova. That's the first theme of the Shavuos Rabbi Kivega. If women Anyantiv should forget to say Yalav Yavo in benching, are they obligated to repeat or not? Because you repeat when there is a Chiyuv Suda. Rabbi Kivega points out that technically speaking, women are exempt from Sudas Yantif and they're exempt from Kiddush and Yantif in many, many poskim disagree.
How does this relate to Chazakah? I mean, if you're establishing it for yourself as something that's going on a long time, then the union of Chazakah, does that interplay with what you're saying?
Right. It could very well be. In other words, we'll have to discuss what is the mechanism of Shavuah Kechova. Perhaps the mechanism is a Hanhaga Tova or Midineder, that a person has established a certain routine, right? Perhaps a certain Chazakah in that sense, and maybe that is something which is binding for the future. That may depend on what you just mentioned in terms of whether Shavuah Kechova means the entire Tzibur or whether it means even individually. But that point will be relevant even for this Rabbi Kivega, that there are cases that women are exempt and yet we assume Shavuah Kechova. Yeah. Right. It's a good question as well. That already you find me dina de Gemara, and that is a discussion that the Rishonim find that Kiddush of Rabbi Zeira, to whether extent, what is it, to what extent is it binding? To what extent is it considered to be a real chova and something that we have taken upon ourselves throughout the generations? But that is true. Sometimes you have the hichmira al atzman. The question is Shavuah Kechova just meant as a Torah's minhag, or does it mean something which is more significancy? This is what troubles the Minchas Chinuch. It's true the Rishonim apply Shavuah Kechova in such instances of Tfilas Arvis, Rishus Urchova. But can you make that leap and assume that it applies in Siras HaOmer, or implies when it comes to Mitzvah Seisha Hazman Grama? What is the difference between the two? So the Minchas Chinuch writes the following. If the Magen Avraham simply would have said that women are exempt from Sphira Soma, but you know, there's a kiyum of Enu Mitzuviyose, and therefore many women opt in order to fulfill a mitzvah on their own volition, that's fine. But Shavuah Kechova is a very technical term, and the Minchas Chinuch writes the following Chiddush, that only applies b'makom plukta, only when there is a machlokes. In other words, when it comes to Tfilas Arvis, there are two possibilities. The Gemara has a machlokes. Whether Tfilas Arvis is a chova, Tfilas Arvis is a reshus, Rama Gamil and Rabbi Yeshua. Even if technically speaking, we will paskan like the view of Rabbi Yeshua, one can opt for the das hamachmirim. One can be machria l'chumra. And that is Shavuah Kechova. But the Minchas Chinuch points out, this is also a comment of a Pirish in Shulchan Aruch called Nazir Shimshon, and that's Simon Tav Peites. When it comes to Sfiras Omer, women are exempt. When it comes to Lulav Shukav Sofar, women are exempt. There is no counter view where it is a debate where you can say, I am opting for the other Shita. And therefore, something which, less mantapalig, is purely a Dvar Rishus, you cannot apply the principle of Shavua Aleha Kechova. That's the Hara of Nazir Shimshon. That's the comment of the Minchas Chinuch. It's interesting, this comment is also found much earlier in Darkei Moshe by the Rama in Simon Kuf Pei Ches. Because there, the Torah discusses at length the 2 days in Shulchan Aruch when it comes to Shalosh Shuddos. Is it necessary to wash and to have pas for Shalosh Shuddos or is it not? So this is already a suffix of Rabbeinu Yechiel, and it's explicitly a machlokas Rishonim. We discussed in earlier Shiurim that the source of Shalosh Suddos is different from the other Suddos of Shabbos. Whereas the first Suddah and second Suddah is rooted in Oneg, Shalosh Suddos is based on the Pasuk, the Suggah and Shabbos Kuf Yizayin of Ichluhu Hayom, eat on this day, where the Torah tells us you have an additional Suddah. And therefore, the debate whether it's necessary to have pas or whether it is not. In fact, in this context, the Rav Yehuda writes that Shavu Aleha Kechova, we have taken upon ourselves to wash when it comes to Shalosh Suddos as well. In fact, if you look in the Mechaber paskens as follows. Nochu Shabbos, Reis Tzadi Aleph, the Mechaber quotes the various views and writes that one should wash for Shalosh Suddos. However, earlier, Kufei Ches, the Mechaber writes, what happens if a person washes and a person benches at Shalosh Suddos and fails to mention Ritzei? Dino Kerosh Chodesh. You don't have to repeat the benching because since there are various views, so therefore b'dievet, not b'chachimah, but b'dievet, if you washed and you didn't say Ritzei, you don't have to repeat the benching for Shalosh Suddos. So these are the two views, and the Rav Yehuda writes Shavu Lekechovas. The Ramban Darkei Moshe writes the following. Why do we assume Shavu Lekechova? Again, the Ramban writes, because there are two possibilities, two views. And therefore, even if technically speaking, we will paskin that pas is not necessary b'dieved, but yet l'chadchila, we will assume kidas hamachmirim. But the Ramban writes explicitly, let's assume, for example, a sudas Rosh Chodesh. Let's assume a person would have the practice of having a sudan Rosh Chodesh. In such a case there, you would not assume Shavila Kachova. That is purely a Dvar Rishus. And even if a person would have that practice, we would not assume that if you forgot to say Yalav Yavo, you would have to repeat the Birkas HaMazon. The Rav Yo would say this about Shalosh Suddos, because it is the Makom Plukta, but not when it comes to other cases as well. There's even a further instance where this is true, and that is the Sugya Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Beis regarding Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. There, the Mishnah, and then the Gemara later on Daf Lamed Hei, puts forth three different possibilities in terms of the Psukim of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. How many Psukim do you need? Do you require, as we do, 10, 10, 10, Malchios, or Shofros, or many fewer Psukim, or maybe it's sufficient to say, Uvasarascha, Kasuv Leimor. Mere mention is considered to be sufficient. So here in Shulchan Aruch the Mechaber writes that our practice is to recite many of the different psukim, 10 psukim for Malchios, for Zichronos, for Shofros, and here as well the Magen Avraham writes, Shavu Aleha Kechova. Even though there are several different views, and perhaps b'dieved, we will paskin like the other view, but nonetheless, Shavu Aleha Kechova. That's a further example, similar to the Tzavis Rishus, when we apply this principle where there is a machlokes, where it is the makom plukta. However, if you look in Rishonim and Poskim, you find the application of Shavu Lekechova even to cases like Rabbi Kveger, like the view of the Magen Avraham, where it's not that you have two views, and the question is, do we assume like A or B? But rather, even in cases where Me'ikar Hadin, it is an absolute Dvar Rishus, nonetheless, the possibility of Shavu Lekechova. That Ramban Darkei Moshe, Kuf Chaf Ches, mentioned Rav Yehuda. But if you look in Rav Yehuda, you find that Rav Yehuda applies Shavu Lekechova even to other cases as well. Rav Yehuda assumes a very great chiddush that we can apply Shavu Lekechova to Al Hanisim. Al Hanisim in Tfila and Al Hanisim in Birchas HaMazon. And the Rav Yehuda assumes, we don't assume this way of halacha, but the Rav Yehuda maintains that if a person will have a Suda on Chanukah intending to recite Al Hanisim, and he fails to do so, he's obligated to repeat the Birchas HaMazon, because Shavu Lekechova. Even the Gemara writes in Shabbos and Daf Chav Dalet that mentioning Al Hanisim in Tefillah is a Rishus, but nonetheless, Rav Yehuda writes, Shavu Aleha Kechova. The Rav Yehuda applies Shavu Lekechova not only in a case where there is a machlokes, but even regarding Al Hanisim in Chanukah, where Me'ikar Hadin is a Dvar Rishus, but nonetheless that is clearly our practice to do so, and therefore Shavu Lekechova. And therefore the Rav Yehuda applies it when it comes to Shalosh Suddos, Al Hanisim in Tefillah, Al Hanisim in benching, not because it's B'makom Plukta, but rather simply because one can apply this concept of Shiloh Kachova even in other contexts as well. In fact, there is a Tshuva Samarsham that discusses the following issue. You find in Pnei Yeshua, in Ksuvas Nasugya Zayma Beis Chesam Aleph, in the Kuntras Achron, Pnei Yeshua raises the following difficulty. Our practice is that every chasana, we introduce the Berchas Erisin with a bracha Baripi HaGafen. This is a minhag from the time of the Gaonim, but Meikar Hadin, the bracha Baripi HaGafen, is not an inherent part of the Berchas Erisin. It's not like Kiddush, it's not like Kavdala. The Gemara even mentions the Erev and Daf Mem that certain brachos are enhanced by bracha Baripi HaGafen. A classic example is Shechianu on Yantiv. Shechianu, one could recite, literally as the Gemara tells us, Afilu B'Shuk, even in the street. The Gemara says on Yom Kippur, we recite the Shechianu without a Kol Shel Bracha. But on Yom Tov, we enhance the Birkas Hazman by incorporating it into Kiddush. It's not an inherent part of Kiddush. But nonetheless, right, the Bracha is enhanced by doing so Al Hayayin. We enhance Birkas Erisin by reciting it Al Hayayin, Al Hakos. But yet, is that really an inherent part of the Berchas Erisin? No. So Pnei Yeshua was bothered by the following issue. What then is its status? It is only a Berchas Hanenin. And therefore Pnei Yeshua was bothered by the following issue. There's a marked difference between the Berchas Hanenin as opposed to the Sum to Berchas Hamitzvah, and that difference is Yatza Motzi. Can I recite a bracha, not for myself, but can I recite a bracha for others? We're all making Kiddush. I can recite Kiddush and I can pass the kos, you will drink, even if I do not drink. Nonetheless, that is fine. That's the concept of a Yatza Motzi. Now what about 5 minutes later, we made Kiddush, now we're washing. I'll make Hamotzi, and I'll make the Hamotzi, and I will just give you the Chal and not partake. That is no good. The Hamotzi is a Birchas Hanenin. We assume Shomea Ka'ona, that by extension, you could be Yotzi as well. But we don't assume a principle of Yatza Motzi, that I can recite the Bracha exclusively for you. And therefore the Pnei Yeshua questions, when it comes to Berchas Erisin, we enhance, but that enhancement is not Me'ikar Hadin necessary for Berchas Erisin, so therefore it should have the status of a Berchas Hanenin, in which case the Misadr Kedushin should make the Bracha, he should drink, and then pass the Chasin and Kala to drink as well, by extension, Shomea Kona. But if he will recite the Bracha and just simply give it to them, isn't that comparable to a Birchas Hamotzi where the Mevarech is not eating, but simply the Shomea is doing so? That will be a Bracha Lavatola, and there's no coverage for the one who eats. The Bracha doesn't relate to him. There's no vehicle of Yatza Motzi. The Fikayam, in the very beginning of Chelek Beis, points out that Reb Chaim was concerned about this particular issue, and it mentioned that someone saw Reb Chaim was Masadah Kedushin, he Masadah the Bracha, and gave it to the Chosan and Kala to drink, and the Fikiyam writes, but look more carefully, right? He would simply go out of his way in a very subtle manner, not overtly, but to spill a little bit of the wine, and he would sip a little bit of the wine off of his finger and give to the Chosan and Kala in order that he would drink, and then give to Chosan and Kala to partake as well, because when it comes to a Birchas Hanenin, some te'im is considered to be required. So what do you do with this difficulty? How is it that one could explain, right, that issue of the lack of te'im of Masadah Kedushin in the Tshuva Samarsham? He explains that perhaps this is understood based on Shavuot Kechova, that even though Meikar Hadin, right, there is no Birchas Hayayin, but nonetheless, already, as the Rambam writes, no, go call Yisrael. The Knesset Yisrael, throughout the generations, have engaged in the practice of incorporating the Berachas Erisin and a Kol Shel Bracha, and perhaps one could apply the principle of Yatza Motzi to that which is Shavio Lekachova. To appear in Dvar Rishus, that would not be the case. But regarding the Berachas Hayayin of Erisin or even Bris Milah, in such a case, the possibility of assuming a Yatza Motzi as well, not merely a case of Shomea Ka'ona. In fact, there's a further application that you find in the Me'iri. The Me'iri has a separate work which is called Magen Avos, where there he defends the Minhagin Amav Provence. In Magen Avos and Simen Chof Aleph, the Me'iri discusses the Gemara Sukkandaf on the Vazma Bey. The Gemara says that Rabbi Chanina Matzo Bey V'Nafik Bey. Rabbi Chanina literally took a bite out of his Esra and then used it to fulfill the mitzvah of Dalet Minim. It's an extreme way of demonstrating that there's no psul chaser and shar yemei hachag. But Rabbi Chanina matvul bei v'nafik bei. So what exactly does that mean? The Meiri writes, is it really true that of all the esrogim that were available, he would choose such an esrog to fulfill the mitzvah of Dalet Minim? How could that be? So the Meiri answers that no, it's not referring to the mitzvah of Dalet Minim at the initial time of the Tefillah, but rather, Gemara we've discussed earlier in Sukkot Daf Mem Aleph Mabeis, that Anshei Yerushalayim, they used to be Noltel Dalet Minim the entire day, as Amidas Chasidus, even though technically speaking, the Gemara Sakim Dam Zayin Mida Ag Bein Afik Bein, you put it up, take it down, that's it, technically you fulfill the mitzvah. But yet, no doubt, the mitzvah is enhanced with an extended Maisa Netilah. And therefore, Anshei Yerushalayim, their entire day, lulav v'biyada, there will be no tel dalet minim. The Meiri writes that this was a practice of Rabbi Chanina, and therefore, not with the dalet minim shal mitzvah, but as far as the kiyum, the midas chasidus of Netilah dalet minim throughout the Meshach Hayom, so then, Rabbi Chanina used that particular esrog even though it was chaser. The Meiri asks, but that doesn't seem to be pshat in the Gemara, because the Gemara says, Rabbi Chanina matlo bei ve nafik be. Nafik be means he was yotze. It doesn't sound like it is a midas chasidus. So to answer, the Meiri writes that no, kvar shavua aleha kechova. Since this was the practice of Rabbi Chanina, to always be noted ad minim throughout the extended day, therefore it was for him as though it was a chiyuv. And it's appropriate for the Gemara to use the term of nafik bay, even though mi ikar hadin, this is not necessary because of shavuola kechova. There are many other examples as well. Rav Yosef discusses chatzi halel, for example. Technically speaking, chatzi halel Rosh Chodesh is only a minag. In fact, the fundamental machlokes, the Rambam and Tosfos, whether one can even recite a bracha on a chatzi halel. The Minhag Ashkenaz is following the view of a Bali Tosfos to do so. But perhaps one would apply shavu aleha kechova. A further interesting discussion when it comes, for example, to answering amen to Kaddish. Certain times we answer amen, that is mi'ikar hadin, v'imru amen. But sometimes we answer amen where it's not considered to be a chiyuv. When the chazan begins the kaddish, shmei rabba, that's not a pronouncement that everyone should answer amen. Sometimes we answer amen or brichu as an added azkara. But could one assume already shavu kechova, l'may nafkamina, is one allowed to answer those types of amen in a place where one is not able to be mafsik? We do it as a midas chasidus, but now that we have created this extended routine, can one assume the principle of shavu aleha kechova? But again, there is ample precedent of shavu aleha kechova even in cases where it is a complete dvar reshus. What is the basis of this machlokes? Whether shavu aleha kechova is only the makom plukta, or whether it applies even in cases that are pli reshus? Perhaps the fundamental issue is how we understand Shavila Kechova. One possibility is the following, that Shavila Kechova in a certain sense is a form of Hachra. How is it that we determine whether we should paskin like A or paskin like B? A machlokes between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. See, even if technically speaking, we will assume like Rabbi Yeshua, perhaps Shavila Kechova means me dini hachra, like the Rambam writes, Nagu ko yisrael, the entire tzimur has taken upon themselves to follow the view of Rabban Gamliel. So in such a case, that would only apply when it is b'makom machlokes, when you have two possibilities. If, however, it works simply midin hanhagatova, similar in a certain sense to nidrei mitzvah, then you don't require kabbalas hatzibur, you don't require that it's b'makom machlokes, right? Even something which is a pure dvar reshus can develop into something shavu aleha kechova simply based on a concept of ahanhagatovi, even if there is no view that will tell us that this is an absolute obligation. One of the chidushim that you find in the Rambam is the following, that even though the Rambam tells us that tefillah sarvis is a rishus, but yet karnogu kol yisrael, to treat tefillah sarvis is always considered to be a chova. So maybe you would leave the Rambam and you'd say now the following. Well, one shavu aleha kechova, the Rif, halachos gedolos, the Rambam. So therefore now there is no difference between Shacharis and Mincha as opposed to Marid. If you're giving Shir, so therefore you'll mention there was a time that there was a difference in Shacharis and Mincha as opposed to Marid. But bottom line, Shavila Kachova, that is not the case. What is striking though is the following, that that is not true. The Rambam quotes Nafkaminas between Shacharis and Mincha as opposed to Mariv, even though Shavu Aleha Kechova, which means that even though this is true, nonetheless, to a certain extent, the status of Tfilas Arvis Rishus is maintained, even though Shavu Aleha Kechova, that we have taken upon ourselves to treat Mariv quite seriously, as though it was a Tfilas Chova. Where do you see that, in fact, this is true? The Nachminas of the Rambam, the fact that Tfilas Arvis is Rishus, despite the fact that we have taken upon ourselves to observe Marav as a Chova. We've discussed several times in Shir, the Sugin Brachos, and Daf Chav Zayin, that Rav Tzoni Shal Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos, that Rav used to daven Marav early. How is that possible? Rav on no Shabbos used to daven Marav early. So Rashi writes very simply, because by doing so, Rav was Mekaba on Atzmon LeKedusha Sayom of Shabbos. In other words, Tosefer Shabbos. Rav accepted upon himself Shabbos, and Tosefer Shabbos allows one to go ahead and to daven Mariv earlier than otherwise you would. The Gemara even goes a step further that not only did Rav daven Mariv, but Rav used to make Kiddush Mibod Yom as well, and Rashi explains this is all a function of the mitzvah of Tosefer. You may recall that this is very difficult though in light of the Rambam Shita, because the Rambam does not mention at all the mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos. The Ram does not mention Tosefes Shabbos, does not mention Tosefes Yantif. The Rambam mentions Tosefes Yom HaKippurim in Perak Aleph of Hilchos Shvita Sasar. And when the Rambam defines the mitzvah of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, the Rambam writes the Hatzal Latsum Niba'od Yom. You begin the Inuyim of Yom Kippur early. The Ram does not mention anything about an Isser Malacha, but rather you begin the fast of Yom Kippur early. The simple explanation of the Rambam is the Rambam understood the pasuk, V'inisem es nafsho seichem batishu l'chodesh. Already on the 9th of Tishrei you begin the inuyim. But Tosefes is halacha in inuyim, in Tainus Tzibur, not halacha in Kedusha Sayom. There's a fascinating Rambam, which is beautifully the Shitase. The Rambam in Pirush Mishnayis, the very end of Maseches Tainus. The Ram does not have Tosefes Shabbos, does not have Tosefes Yantif. The Ram has Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, and the Rambam, the Pirush Mishnayis, has Tosefes when it comes to Tisha B'Av. Tosefes Tisha B'Av. Sounds unusual. You don't assume like this Rambam, but you understand very well. The Rambam understood that Tosefes is Alof Kintanis Tzibur in Inuyim. So therefore, the link is not Yom Kippur to Shabbos, it's Yom Kippur to Tisha B'Av. You begin the Inuyim, Miba Od Yom. And therefore, Tisha B'Av also, as a Tainus Tzibur, there is an obligation of Tosefes. What exactly does that mean? So the Magid Mishnah writes in Perek Dalet of Hilchos Hanukkah, that means according to the Rambam, it's not just simply that there's no obligation of Tosefes, but Lo Matzino Kabbalah Oseres, there's no vehicle of Tosefes. The machlokes that the Magid Mishnah discusses is what Shabbos Hanukkah. What do you do first? All things being equal, we would argue that Tadar Vishino Tadar Tadar Kodim, that why not go ahead and bench the Shabbos the first and then Ner Hanukkah. The halachas close, right? You cannot do that because when you bench Lich, we generally assume it's a Kabbalah Shabbos, and therefore our practice is Hanukkah followed by Ner Shabbos. Magid Mishnah writes, according to the Rambam, that's not true because there's no vehicle of Tosefes. So he argues, according to the Rambam, the proper order is first the Ner Shabbos followed by the Ner Hanukkah. Well, if the Rambam assumes that there's no mitzvah Tosefes, how does the Rambam explain the Gemara that Rav used to make Kiddush early, or Rav used to daven early? When it comes to Kiddush, we discussed in earlier Shem, the Rambam writes a very great Kiddush, that Yesh lo the Makadish mibod yom, va'af al pi shlo nechnasa ha-shabbos. The Rambam perachavtes alach yud aleph, of the Shabbos. The Rambam writes that Kiddush does not have to be made on Shabbos. You could make Kiddush samuch l'Shabbos. That's what the Rambam writes. And the Rambam writes, isn't it clear from the Gemara, the same thing as when it comes to Havdalah? If necessary, even a shasat chag. And you're not going to be able to make Havdalah after Shabbos. The Rambam is explicit based on the Gemara. So late Shabbos afternoon, after Plag HaMincha. So you'll go ahead and you'll make Havdalah. Obviously not use the Eish, but you'll make Havdalah. And therefore, that is the mitzvah of Havdalah. The purpose of Kiddush is to announce that Shabbos is about to arrive or Shabbos is about to depart, and that acknowledgement, according to the Rambam, can be made even samuch, the Rambam writes. With Knisas HaShabbos, samuch, the Yetzias HaShabbos. That's what the Rambam writes. You understand very well. If the Rambam does not have the mitzvah of Tosefes, and the Gemara says that Rav made Kiddush early, the Rambam understands that not because of any commencement of Shabbos, but rather simply because that Kiddush can be before. The Tosefos HaRash writes, Shenemar Zachar Esyam HaShabbos Bekadsho, V'lo Nemar Zachar Biyom HaShabbos Bekadsho. The Torah doesn't say to do it necessarily on Shabbos, but even some of L'Knisas HaShabbos and some of L'Yetzias HaShabbos. And what about davening, that Rav used to daven Ma'ariv early? So that's what the Rambam writes, that no, Tfilas Arvis Rishus Ein Medaktik in Bizmana. And Rambam writes, that's only because Tfilas service is Rishus. Shachris and Mincha, one has to be very, very makpid. And the Zmanei HaTfilah, one can daven Mariv earlier because Tfilas service is Rishus in Medaktik in Bizmana. So it's twofold Chiddush, according to the Rambam. Chiddush number one is that the Rambam maintains you can daven early because Tfilas service is Rishus. The Chiddush number two is that's true even Bizman HaZeh, even though the Rambam says that Shavu Aleha Kecholva. Even though Shabbat like Yehovah, nonetheless, inherently, its status as a Tfilas Rishus is maintained. And the Rambam writes there's also a difference regarding Chazaras HaShas. Why is it that there's no Chazaras HaShas when it comes to Tfilas Arvis? And that as well, right, the Rambam writes, is because Tfilas Arvis is only a Rishus. And therefore there's no need for Chazaras HaShas. That's what the Rambam writes as well. We'll have to discuss, right, a beautiful piece that Rav Chaim has in Perek Yud Hilchos Tefillah. Let me just conclude with a brief nafka mina, and then the next year we'll have to continue this before we transition to Tefillas Musa. There is a Tosus in Brachos Avdalah, and also Tosus in Megillah, Nachaf Aleph, where Tosus writes a fascinating issue regarding Kriyas HaTorah. Our minhag, this was not always the case, not always the case, but our minhag when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah is the following. We'll lay seven aliyahs on Shabbos, then we'll say Kaddish, Shachatzi Kaddish, and then we will lay Maftir. Why exactly is that true? Why is that our practice? So Tosus explains in Megillah the following. That's because there's a marked difference between the Shiva Kruim as opposed to Maftir. The Shiva Kruim are part of the Chovas Salam. That is only min haminyan. Masha'en kein, when it comes to Maftir, Maftir technically speaking is a Hosafa. If you're dealing with a day where you cannot have a Hosafa, for example, like an Atanis Sibor, so you don't lean three aliyahs plus Maftir, but Shlishi is the Maftir. But on Shabbos, where technically speaking a Hosafa will be allowed, so therefore we repeat the Maftir as an added aliyah, but in order to demonstrate that there's a marked difference between the Kriyas HaTorah which precede and that which follows, so therefore there is a Kaddish. We mentioned this recently in the Shir, that Rav Soloveitchik termed this a Kaddish HaMafsik. There are three different types of Kaddish. Kaddish introduces a Kaddish HaMaskil. Sometimes there's a Kaddish HaGomer. Kaddish HaGomer means, for example, you lose your minion in Chazaras HaShatz, you can still recite the Kaddish afterwards of Tiskavo Tadosan, because that is the conclusion of the Tefillah. Just as though you would lose your minion in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, you can continue. Right, the same thing is true when it comes to that Kaddish that relates to the Shemoneh Esrei. Hey, you know the comment of Eliyahu Rabba, that's why you can't speak during davening. From, of course, Yishtarbach through Shemoneh Esrei until the end of Kaddish Tiskabel, because that's one unit. If you lose your minion, so therefore you can continue and recite that particular Kaddish as well. And then a third Kaddish, a Kaddish HaMafsik. Sometimes the purpose of a Kaddish is to demonstrate transition or shifting gears. That's exactly what we do when it comes to laning. And therefore, the Chov HaSayom, the seven aliyahs, the five aliyahs in Yontif, a Kaddish, followed by Maftir. So, Rav Soloveitchik explained, based on Tosfos and Brachos and Daf Dalet, that every Shemoneh Esrei is preceded by a Kaddish, Shachris Mincha Maariv. But there's a marked difference between the placement of the Kaddish in Maariv as opposed to the placement of the Kaddish in Shachris. When it comes to Shachris, the Kaddish is before Kriya Shema V'Choseha. When it comes to Maariv, you know that is not the case. Kriya Shema Kaddish, and then Shemoneh Esrei. So why the difference? If every Shemoneh Esrei requires a Kaddish HaMasfil, but we understand in Shacharis that you can't be mafsik in between Gal Yisrael and Shemoneh Esrei, so you have to have the Kaddish earlier, but when it comes to Tfilas Arvis also we're not mafsik unnecessarily between Gal Yisrael and the Shemoneh Esrei. Why is it essential to have a Kaddish at that particular point? So Tosos quoted Rambam going to the answer that Tfilas Arvis is Rishus. It doesn't simply mean the Rav explained that Tfilas Arvis is Rishus means since Tfilas Arvis is Rishus, therefore it's not so necessary to be careful about issues of Hefsek. Parshav Shat and Tosos equates it with the Kriya Satorah. And that, the Chiddush should be understood as follows. That whenever one transitions, then it's necessary to have a Kaddish HaMafsik. And therefore, when it comes to Shacharis, Kriya Shema certainly is a Chova. And a mitzvah d'arayis of Kriya Shema, Tfilah Shacharis is a Chova as well. So therefore, there's no need for a Kaddish HaMafsik. And that is why the Kaddish is at an earlier time. When it comes to Maariv, Kriya Shema is a mitzvah d'araisa. Shemoneh Esrei is only a rishus. That's comparable to the Shiva Kruim and Maftir, where Maftir is a hosafa. It's not all the minaminyan. That's what Tosa says. When you have a unit that appears to be as one, but really it's not, it's two halves, it's necessary to have a Kaddish HaMafsik. That's the Chiddush, Rav Amram Gaon, that Chazal were koveh the Kaddish is in between Kriya Shema and Shemoneh Esrei when it comes to Shacharis. The Kaddish has a due role. It's a Kaddish HaMafsik that introduces Shemoneh Esrei. It's a Kaddish HaMafsik in between Kriya Shema and Shemoneh Esrei. And this is because Tfilas Arvis is a Rishus. It's not just simply, well, since it's a Rishus, so no problem, nothing wrong with a diversion, and therefore you can speak in between. No, to demonstrate that the Tfilas is a Rishus. So therefore as well, even though Shavila Kachovas, as we'll see, that's true that we must daven, but inherently the Tfilah remains that which is considered to be a Tfilas Chova. In the next year, Mitzvah Shem will discuss a beautiful Chiddush of Reb Chaim, from Zevin has a beautiful sefer which is called Ishim Veshitos, where he has biographical information of Gedol Yisrael and then examples of their Derech Alimus. So the piece of Reb Chaim, so he mentions at length this piece in Reb Chaim as being a classic example of the Derech Alimus of Reb Chaim. This is Reb Chaim, this is between Hilchos Gavra and Chefza, and what is exactly do we mean by Shavu Alei Kechova? Does it alter inherently the nature of the Tfilah? Or is it simply that, no, a chovas hagavra to daven a tfilas rishus each and every day? If I, for example, take upon myself, I will bring a karban shlamim every day, every week, every year. If I were to ask you, inherently, is that karban a karban chovah? That's not a karban chovah. Karban remains a karban adava. The fact that you have taken upon yourself an obligation to do so, so I will tell you the following. There's a chovas hagavra to offer a carbon adava. But the carbon inherently, in terms of its avoda, is not a carbon chova. Maybe the same thing is true when it comes to tefillas arvis. To what extent does shavla kachova impact on the chefzah shel tefillah? To what extent do we assume that no, there is a chovas hagavra to daven a tefillas nedava each and every night? This is the chiddush, and we'll see the nafkaminas from Achokas between the Rambam and Raifah.
In one of the few shiur, could you possibly touch on whether or not there's been a little bit more than one or two?
Right,